Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
For what you have to say. Lord, we pray that you will speak through your scriptures, that you will speak through me. I pray, Father, that the things that you revealed to me earlier this week come out of my mouth this day and go into the ears and hearts of these people. Father, may we be changed as a result of what you're going to teach us today. Let us not go out from here the same way we came in. And Lord, there may be some areas in our life that need addressing. I pray that we would be willing to bring those to your feet and let you do the work. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be going over the next 2 weeks into a series called Faith That Doesn't Flinch. And I hope this will grow our faith over the next 2 weeks. We're going to be, it's just 2 weeks, okay? So if you don't want to miss half of it, you gotta still come here or tune in for Labor Day Sunday, okay? So just prepare yourselves. You don't wanna miss it. So our house wakes up pretty early every morning. I'm an early riser, so for me to say that, it means we really wake up early. And some kids in our home wake up earlier than others. Others take 80 times to hey, you up yet? And I won't point out which ones today, because they're here. But there was one morning, my routine is usually wake up and go find a coffee maker. I'm a morning person, but I'm a happier morning person with coffee. Amen. All God's morning people, say amen. All right, and all God's non-morning people, let out a groan. Okay, very good, very good. There's a few here. Man, this is second service. There ought to be more groans, right? So faith that doesn't flinch is something that's hard to come by in the dark. So as I was coming around the corner in the kitchen, little did I know that in the dark was crouched my youngest son. I won't name his name. Again, he's here. So I'll just come over here for a second. He was crouched behind the wall, and he jumps out at me almost. I kind of jumped a little, and then I acted like I saw him there all along. I didn't let on, right, that I flinched. But life is full of those type of surprises that are going to come out of nowhere from the darkness and lurch forward at you and get you to flinch in your faith. And here's the thing. It's not like you're never going to flinch if you have lots of faith. That's not a reality, okay? There is no such thing as a flinchless faith, but there is such thing as a flinchless faith. Let's flinch less and follow more. Can you look at your neighbor? You gotta follow instructions. All right, first look at me, because you guys are following instructions too quickly. Maybe we could have a little session for my children after about this. You guys can teach them. Right away, do what I say. But so you're gonna, in a minute, okay, you're gonna look at your neighbor and you're gonna say, flinch less, okay, and then follow more. Okay, do a little roundabout. Okay, can you do that? Go ahead. Flinch less, and then follow more. Flinch less and follow more. If you did this to your spouse and they jumped, they flinched, not parents. Parents, that's our normal response. You never know what our kids are gonna do. But if you did this to your spouse and the spouse like lipped out of their feet, we have a couples study coming up in September. You need to sign up, sebastianchurch.com/lifegroups. I'm not joking. So flinch less, follow more. Also last week, same kid is sitting at the breakfast table eating a cookie. It was probably his second cookie, but as he's opening it, and I'm sitting right there. I said, hey, thank you, by the way, Coastal students, for the cookies the night before. And thank you, 7-Eleven, for donating them so they didn't even have to buy them. Yes. But he's sitting there eating, getting ready to eat a cookie for breakfast. I assume he's already had one and he's on number two. And he's eating, don't you argue with me during my sermon, son. And he's getting ready to put it in his mouth. I said, no, we don't eat cookies for breakfast, right? And some of you are like, you are no fun. No, we don't eat cookies. Donuts are okay for some reason, but cookies, no, okay? We don't eat cookies for breakfast. And so, but I can't. It's already open. There's no way I can get it back. It's gonna be wasted. And I'm like, so be it. Or you could go get a Ziploc bag and seal it. And so don't worry, he took it to school. He got to eat it later when cookies are supposed to be eaten, okay? I know you guys think I'm mean. So then the other kids come out and they got their cookies and they're like, but he doesn't hear me. And I'm like, and just because everybody did it doesn't mean that it's okay. St. Augustine says it this way, and you can quote this to your children, right is right, even if no one is doing it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. So this week, we're gonna learn about faith that stands, faith that doesn't flinch, through three Jewish slaves that were working for a very harsh boss. And some of you may draw some connections to your workplace environment. That's okay. But I think for all of us, we can fit our faith into this story right here. All right. So we wanna first introduce you to a man named King Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody say Nebuchadnezzar. All right, that sounded fair enough with all of us saying it. We can't tell whether you're pronouncing it properly. He created a statue that was 90 feet tall. Some say it was because he had short man syndrome and he wanted to compensate. And this statue is very handsome. It looked an awful lot like him. And so he creates this statue and he makes this decree in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. We're gonna go there in just a minute. If you have your phone app, the YouVersion Bible app, turn to Daniel 3. We're gonna hang out there the whole time. You can scroll around, you can highlight whatever. Daniel chapter 3. I'm using the New Living Translation. We're gonna hang out here the entire day. Some of you are like, I'm only staying till noon. All right, we'll be there just a little afternoon. All right, Daniel 3, verse 4. Then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harps, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Verse 6, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So with this, we see a perfect opportunity for faith to stand. Let's do a little bit more background on Nebuchadnezzar. We already talked about the fact that he had a bit of a complex and he believed that he was a god. And so therefore he should be worshiped. And so this is, he decrees it. He says, you've got to worship me or you're going to get killed. And you're not just going to get killed, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. So just go ahead and worship, right? And what does Nebuchadnezzar mean? Nebuchadnezzar means that Nebu will protect, right? So he's putting himself up as this big dude who is all powerful and nobody can come against him. I mean, if you Google Nebuchadnezzar, there's all sorts of things that are named Nebuchadnezzar that are meant to be big. There's a Nebuchadnezzar bottle of wine. Some of you are like Googling it right now, now that I've said that. You just heard from the Lord. It's big enough to hold 20 bottles of wine. 100 glasses of wine. That's what a Nebuchadnezzar, so everything Nebuchadnezzar is bigger, right, than life. And some of you are like 90 foot, that's a big statue. How many of you know how tall the big bridge is here on the causeway? It's there, it's there. Right, were you here in first service? You don't get any extra points. So 65 feet, so just go up another 25 feet from there, right, 25 feet. Yeah, 25 feet from there, and you have the 90-foot statue. So if we were like out on 510, you can almost kind of see the bridge, right? And you would see this huge gold head sticking out, right? Like, and that's where, you know, he needed it big enough so that people, wherever they were at, they would stop, they'd hear the music, they would stop and begin worshiping this thing that looked an awful lot like him. Now, the king had many Jewish slaves. In fact, many of them worked very hard for the king and did many things to help the king. In fact, one time, the king had a dream. He couldn't get it interpreted. He had sorcerers and magicians and astrologers. You know, he probably had a tarot card reader. it was probably that Jamaican lady that used to be on the TV in the 90s, you know. Yeah, man, we find out what the cards are saying. Yeah, man. Okay, and I'm sorry that, Herv, I'm sorry, that patois was horrible. But was it good? All right. So he's checking everything, and he cannot find out what this dream means. He says, I'm just gonna kill all of you astrologers, all of you magicians, all of you pagans, because you're worthless to me. And Daniel finds out, Daniel, a God-fearer, and he says, whoa, just let's not kill anybody yet, okay? Just hold off just a second. I'm gonna pray to God, and then he's gonna give me an interpretation of your dream. So Daniel's saying, I'm not gonna be the hero here. I'm gonna go to God. God's gonna give me the answer, and then I'm gonna give it to you, and then people get to live, okay? Well, it wasn't long after that that the astrologers and everybody kind of forgot that Daniel had helped them, and they want to now put everybody who believes differently than them to death. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 8, the story continues. Are we still here? All right, good. We didn't lose anybody. Verse 8. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed him on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king, which is what you say because you don't want your head cut off. Verse 10. You issued a decree requiring all people bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. Verse 11, in case you got lost. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to name a few, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage, ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him, because these are people that he put in leadership, and he should be able to tell them to fall down and worship the statue that looks like him. And so he's upset. And we have a classic case of workplace drama where somebody's, hey boss, Daniel's doing this, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing this. And remember what you said. And let's continue in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down to the worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? After all that reading, I need a little bit of espresso. Give me just a second. Are y'all still here? Okay. Now at this point, many of us would be thinking about making a deal with God. Lord, I'm just gonna bow. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just gonna bow to this thing. It's just a piece of gold, right? I'm just gonna bow so that I can keep on living. You know, I really can't do much for you if I'm dead. So I'm gonna just do this little thing and then I get to keep on living, right? We kind of make a deal to try and keep going the way that we're going. Teens, kids of all ages, even adults, we might be tempted to just do the thing everybody else is doing, because there is one thing that makes us more afraid than anything else in middle school and high school, and that is looking weird, right? And I'm sorry, some of you will still look weird even if you go with the flow. So might as well just get it over with, man, and just do what God says. So we have to decide, adults, children, teens, everybody, we have to decide that regardless of what is popular, I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to stand on faith even when everybody else is just caving. Stand on faith. So that brings us to our first point. Faith stands in the fire. Verse 16, let's go back to reading. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. These boys are nuts. They're nuts. They're ready. They're ready to go into the fire, standing on faith. And they don't care what the king, I mean, they're knowing the king's reputation, right? They stand before him. It's amazing they survived to the end of that conversation. It's amazing that he was already, it said he was enraged. Like at the very beginning, he first heard about it, it said he was enraged. And then the second time he hears about it, you know, like from their mouths, like he lost it. Like he was, it said his face changed, okay? His face changed. And these guys are standing strong. It's not that they wanted to die a suicide, you know, by king death. It's that they decided once and for all they would stand on faith no matter what it cost. That's a faith that doesn't flinch. Your faith must be stronger than your flinch. You will flinch. You know, life will come. I see, I got you right there, sorry. There was no one here in first service. Welcome. And I mean, if anybody like just comes out at you, right? It's just natural, right? It's just natural. And you can always sit in the front row. We love you. And I won't flinch next week, right? And when we decide that we're gonna move forward even in spite of our flinch, that's when our faith grows. Faith actually grows. It actually moves forward in the fire. Faith grows when we decide that I'm gonna stand here because I know what's right, even if it's painful. And it's that even if faith that we saw in Soul Rehab in Psalm 23, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil because God is with me. Same kind of faith. Even if you throw me into the fire and God decides not to save me, I will not turn on my God. Your faith must be stronger than your flinch. Standing on faith is not about saving your assets. Standing on faith is not about protecting your comfort. Standing on faith is not about what is political or typical, but what is biblical. Now that faith is a faith that doesn't flinch. Let's fast forward to a few years to today. It is a good beach day. Later on, we're going to the beach. But our family has decided that before that, you know, I'm somewhat employed here, so it's kind of a cheater for me. But even when we're on vacation, we make it a priority. Like we're gonna go to church and then we're gonna go to the beach. It's not like we never miss. Like usually once a year, we're like, yeah, let's, you know, it is my job. So sometimes when I come to church, I like analyze everything. I go to another church and I learn. So like once a year, we just skip. But other than that, so I give you permission once a year. So what we're like, wow, what a nice day. Maybe I should go to the beach instead. All right, now if you're watching online from the beach, God bless you, man. You chose right, man. You got the best of both. No, just kidding. We're happy to get to hang out with people that are here. But we make these decisions in our own life. Am I gonna go to the beach or am I gonna go be with the church? Am I gonna decide to be generous? Am I gonna hang on to as much as I can? Am I gonna decide to parent my children with humility and patience, or am I gonna scream my way until they finally leave, right? We have to decide. We have to make decisions and then not flinch when life comes at us with surprises. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are ready to die for their stand in faith. They're ready to stand in the fire. Let's continue in verse 19. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was very angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is where it is. The look on his face changed. You just see the vein popping out, the red gushing from his body. You can just see he's changing. And he ordered that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than the usual. He also gave some of the strongest soldiers in his army a command. He ordered them to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then he told his men to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they were tied up. Then they were thrown into the furnace. They were wearing their robes, pants, turbans, and other clothes. The king's command was carried out quickly. The furnace was so hot that the flames killed the soldiers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it. So the 3 men were firmly tied up and they fell into the blazing furnace. You have to leave pleasing people behind and decide, I'm gonna follow instead of flinch. This did not make Nebuchadnezzar happy. And we have to decide, even if we can't please everybody, we're going to make sure we please the most important person, and that's God. Now look at what happens next. This is about to get good. It's about to be worth all the reading that we've just done. Let's read some more. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet. Look who's standing now. He was so amazed, he asked his advisors, didn't we tie up three men? Didn't we throw three men into the fire? They replied, yes, we did, your majesty. Now these must be some men that were kind of with the men who actually threw them into the fire, because those men are burnt and laying next to the furnace or fell in as well. I don't know, but they died, the Bible says. And so some other men that must have been close by are saying, yeah, we made sure there was three men that were thrown into the furnace. And it says in verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet. When you stand in the faith, the faithless are moved to stand. When you stand in the faith, the one who sent you into the fire may be the one who comes to his feet. When you stand in the faith, the one who threw you into the fire will be the one who cannot help himself and leaps to his feet, standing amazed at what God has done in you. So don't give up. Stand up. Stand up in the fire. Stand up so that others will stand up. In verse 25, it says, then the king said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire. They aren't tied up, and the fire hasn't even harmed them. The fourth man looks like a son of the gods. Here's the deal. The only way we can stand in fire without flinching or running is knowing that we're not alone. Is knowing that when we go into the fire, there's gonna be someone standing with us. And it doesn't say that they walked into the furnace, it said they fell into the furnace, right? You may have fallen into whatever furnace you are currently roasting in, but God will help you stand up there. And notice, they are not bound up anymore. That when they fell into the furnace, the things that bound them up, the things that tied them up were burnt off of them. And they were liberated even in the midst of the fire. When the heat gets turned up and you get thrown into the fire, look for the extra man. Some believe this is Jesus himself. Even Nebuchadnezzar said it's a son of the gods. He knew the only way this was possible was through a God that was more powerful than any God he had seen before. And so we're gonna get to a part next that kind of, this part's for me. It may be for you, but it's definitely for me. Because as we walk through fire, as we stand in the fire, inevitably we can end up burnt. Anybody ever been burnt? We can get burnt out. We can get fried at church. We can get frustrated with how life is going. We can get burnt due to our finances. We can get burnt due to losing a loved one. We can get burnt because of something that happened at work. I want to read this next passage, verse 26 and 27. Listen closely. Then the king approached the opening of the blazing furnace. He shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. You who serve the Most High God, come here. So they came out of the fire. The royal rulers, high officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire hadn't harmed their bodies. Not one hair on their heads was burned. You see, everybody's gathering around them, standing up. Look at the influence. The robes weren't burned either, and they didn't even smell like smoke. I'm gonna focus on that little section right there, because when we've gone through the fire, when we've gone through something that's burned us, the next time we see another fire coming, we flinch. I'm just saying, for me, after being hurt, I start seeing things come together that look a lot like things that hurt me before, and I'm starting to flinch before we've even gotten to the fire. And God may be saying, hey, I need you to come closer to this. I need you to move forward here. And I'm like, I know what happens there. That's painful. I don't wanna go into the fire again, Lord. Please don't make me. And I think part of our maturing in our faith is learning to go through the fire and even sometimes getting burnt and coming out not smelling burnt for the rest of our lives. deciding that God can heal us, deciding that I don't need to characterize every fire like the one that I just walked through, recognizing that no matter what fire I'm going through, even if it starts triggering you, that it looks an awful lot like the previous fire, God will always be with you. He will stand with you in the furnace. Your whatever's binding you will drop, and you will walk out of that fire to stand again. To stand in faith is not to flinch for the rest of your life because you got burnt once. To stand in faith is to learn and to move forward when God calls you there. Flinch less, follow more. So here's what we learned today. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He did not deliver them from the fire. Later on he did. But he did not deliver them immediately from the fire. He delivered them while they were still in the fire. They were unharmed. They were in the fire and yet not consumed. And so someday this could be your story. Right now you're standing here thinking you have a choice to make, you have a stand to make, you have whatever God's put on your heart, you have been called forward and there's a fire there, or at least a threat of a fire, and you're flinching. But this could be your story, that you moved forward anyway. And what threatened to burn you built you. What threatened to bind you blessed you. What threatened to break you became your breakthrough because you stood in faith. That's a faith that doesn't flinch. Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we grow that your Holy Spirit would give us the boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That we could stand in faith in the fire, that we could stand so others stand, and that we could stand, and even if we get burned, come out not smelling like smoke. So right now, I want, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wanna pray over those who are in the fire right now or see a fire coming up. Just raise your hand, I wanna pray over you. I'm not gonna identify you. Just wanna pray over you. I'm not gonna ask you to come forward. I'm making it easy today. Just wanna pray over you. Yes, there's some fires here. Yep. So Lord, I pray over these people who've been courageous and said, hey, I'm going into the fire. I don't wanna be alone. So Father, I pray you'd they would feel our presence there as much as the presence of the Holy Spirit with them, that you'd bring them through, that you'd give them the boldness to stand up and in spite of challenges. And now I wanna talk to you if you're like me, and I'm gonna raise my hand right now, where you've been burnt and you're allowing that to flinch, that to be a flinch reflex in so many areas of your life. And so it's time to stop flinching and start following. I want you to put your hands up if that's you. You've been burnt maybe by a church or maybe by a person or maybe by life itself. I wanna pray over you now. Any those who need to stop flinching, start moving forward, amen, I see. So Lord, I pray over all of us that fit into that camp, Father, would you please heal our wounds, put salve, your healing salve on our burns. Father, let us not be characterized by walking through the fire, but let us be formed and made firm and made healthier because of what you brought us through. Father, may this be our breakthrough, that we no longer smell like the smoke where we came from, but that people would stand amazed at what you're doing through us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Next week, remember, if you miss next week, you're gonna miss 50% of this sermon series. So tune in online or come back again. Invite somebody with you. The sermon title for next week, this week was Stand in Faith. Next week is Faith Fights.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.